Welcome to Serve and Volley, the tennis podcast for people who like arguments. I'm Nick.
I'm Pavel.
So hello and welcome to Serve and Volley. Now you might be able to hear that we're out in the field recording today. We're actually in Milan. We're on our way from the Strada Don Carlo Gnocchi, where we're staying, to the Palo Lido, where we're going to the final tonight of the ATP's Next Gen competition. I'm here with Pavel Linschitz. Pavel, you know, having a nice time in Milan?
Wonderful time, thank you. Yeah, this is the third edition of the Next Gen Finals. A competition, as you know, created by the ATP to pretend like there's life after the big three. We're excited to see the two matches today. Sinner de Minaur is the final, which Nick correctly predicted. I mean,
yeah, I want that
you
to
may
be,
choose not to believe us, but it's true.
I want that to be on the record that before the start of the tournament, I said the final would be ADM versus Sinner, and it's ADM versus Sinner. The third place playoff is?
Tiafoe versus Kecmanovic. I'm a big Francis Tiafoe fan, as some of the loyal podcast listeners may know.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing him in person.
So how do you think that the Next Gen tournament has kind of gone down so far? It's a really interesting format. Talk people through the format in case they don't know, and just kind of give a couple of observations about how it's been up to the final.
Well, they've innovated a lot around the scoring system, which they've borrowed the deciding point from doubles. So there's no longer these protracted games with advantage this and advantage that. It just goes to a straight, you know, seventh point if it's deuce. And whoever wins that wins the game, which I disapprove of, because I think a long, protracted game with like its ebbs and flows is one of the pleasures of tennis. It can add to the tension. And then the other innovation is that they play best, you know, first to four games rather than first to...
In what way is that an what is being innovated there? Just, I mean...
They've truncated the set. It says best of five sets, which obviously, apart from the majors, isn't a thing on the tour anymore. They've used to have it for Masters Finals and for Tour Finals and for Davis Cup, but all of these have been phased out. But so you have five sets, but then each set has like fewer points, and in theory each point should be more dramatic, more on the line. But I think, you know, it's one of those things where hopefully this is not an innovation that crosses over, because I don't think it adds to the drama. I think it might actually take away from it, because you know which points are the decisive ones, whereas if you have like a very protracted game, I think one of the pleasures is not knowing whether, you know, the momentum is about to shift or not.
So I don't think many of these innovations are going to cross over to the main tour. One of the ones that I could see happening at some point in the next few years is the automatic Hawkeye on all line calls.
Yeah, I mean, I quite enjoy the challenge system. I think it also adds a bit to the drama, but given that...
I don't disagree, because obviously I don't approve of Hawkeye at all.
Yeah.
So obviously I don't disagree with that, but...
That is mad.
But I could also see just the way that sport is going generally, the sort of weird machinization of the sporting process, that I could see them going fully Hawkeye.
Funnily enough, Next Gen also has VAR on top of Hawkeye, so if you want to challenge something that's not just a simple in-out decision, which is obviously quite binary, you can also request...
What sort of decisions could be
required? The other day, the first time it's been used, even though I think it was already a rule last year, someone hit a very high lob that hit the roof, which is obviously, according to the tennis rules, a point for the opponent. And it was correctly given by the umpire, but the person who... I think it was Rude who hit the lob. He wanted, you know, a second look, so nothing really came of it. Another one which was more interesting is Hawkeye didn't call an obvious out shot, and then VAR showed that it had been like, you know, a foot out.
So what's the purpose of the umpire in this whole situation?
Say the score in a loud and authoritative voice, and say, you know, change of ends, new balls, please.
Okay, finally, because we'll be coming back to this after we've seen the tennis. Who are your picks for the? Who cares about the third place playoff winner? But who's going to win this? And do you think they will have a big season next year?
De Minaur was runner up last year already. I think he's going to win.
I think we said I said very early on that as soon as it was apparent, it's been apparent for a long time that Tsitsipas wasn't going to play. But once Shapovalov and who's the other person?
Ozier
Elisim are not and not here, it looked like it was Dimonor's to lose. Sinner's had a really good tournament. I think Sinner's good. He's 18.
I think they both clearly have very bright futures, but Dimonor is already a top 20 player, and he's been playing like that all week, and there's very few things that Sinner can do that Dimonor can't also do. Right. They both can hit the ball from both wings, and they both serve well, but Dimonor is just, you know, better all around.
We're going to have egg on our faces. An uvo, as the Italians would say.
I mean, hopefully, we like an upset, and obviously the crowd will be cheering for Sinner.
Yeah, we'll be cheering for Sinner. We'll be cheering for Sinner, I think.
Well, Sinner's the first Italian wildcard to actually, you know, win a single match of these tournaments. Yeah, and now he's in the final, so...
I think he seems nice. Anyway, we'll. I have no idea if we're even walking in the right direction. No one has been checking a map. So we'll have to tune back in after the tennis. So over and out. Are we going the right way? So we're back in our Airbnb now on Strada Don Carlo Gnocchi, having just watched what can only be described as a massacre. Is that fair? Actually, why don't we talk the listeners who care so much? This is also a tremendously echoey room, so please enjoy that. Talk them through our evening. Pavel, you were the one who said that there was a third place playoff.
So, just to clarify, I saw a blog post a few days ago saying that the third place playoff has been scrapped, which had us worried because we had tickets for today, for the whole day. Well, not the whole day, but the whole evening. And so we expect to see two tennis matches. So I went on the Next Gen website and it was advertising a third place match. So I thought that the blog post...
Did it say between Tiafoe and Kecmanovic?
Yes.
And I also have to say that on the tickets section of the Next Gen Finals website, it said that there would be two matches today. It outlined the number of matches you'd get for each day of your ticket purchasing and said two matches today. Were there two matches, Pavel?
There were not.
Unless very, very grudgingly you say that the single sets played between two children who were borderline infants and two children who, you know, couldn't buy a scratch card, a doubles match on a court that doesn't have tram lines was the second match. Do you think that's what they...
There was another match before we arrived, to be fair.
Was there?
I think we saw someone getting a trophy, so I assumed just won a match.
Oh, wow.
But anyway...
Anyway, it was all children. It was all children. And we're going to be getting our lawyer to see whether we can get a refund. Anyway, finally, after, I think, about 2.5 hours of waiting, walking around, Pavel and I had cocktails, which were an Aperol spritz with the added attraction of coffee and a straw made entirely of sugar. Finally, we sat down for Jannik Sinner versus Alex de Minaur, and it went exactly as we anticipated, right?
Wrong. So it was a straight set win, which wouldn't have surprised me before the match, but the winner was a guy ranked 93 in the world versus... Dimonor, who's won three tournaments this year and is ranked 15, so he didn't really, he was the heavy favorite on paper and didn't really play like it. And Sinner played really well, have to give him credit. He served almost immaculately and hit a lot of winners, didn't hit many forced errors, and the crowd was solidly behind him and he took it in his stride.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a little bit of Sinner in Antwerp and thought he looked really good, which is sort of why I made my prediction that he'd get to the final here. I wasn't expecting him to win today, but I think going in, thought that Dimonor, and listeners can now scrub back through this podcast and hear you say that you don't think Jannik Sinner has anything that Alex Dimonor also has, but better. Have you reappraised that view?
Sinner played very good aggressive tennis today, and the court was very fast, which helped him. I think on his best day, if you look back at, like, Dimonor won the title in Atlanta without facing a single break point. So he's good at...
That size, because he must have served a hell of a lot better than he served today to not face a single break point.
Correct. But he also played like people like Rayo Pelka, who are quite bad returners, but still. Sinner took the ball really early and was very solid, didn't give many points away, and Dimonor just kind of mentally just didn't seem very present. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, he looks a little bit... I also thought when he walked out, he looks a little bit like... I don't know whether it was a case of with a very partisan crowd, and it's a slightly weird tournament anyway. It's maybe a sort of tournament that people struggle to sort of get themselves up for. And there's obviously a much bigger match for Sinner than it was for Dimonor. So I don't know whether that was all playing part. He never got going, Dimonor. He never looked. You know, I always think it's a bad sign when you're getting beat that badly and you're not even showing visible frustration. You know, I don't know enough about, you know, the man they call the demon to say whether he's like a really expressive player generally.
I mean, I've seen him smack a few rackets, but I think that would have been quite churlish of him to do so here. Mm. And
but still, I think it would have been.
But don't you think it's Don't you think it's also like the partisan crowd? Like, if Dimonor had won as expected, we would then be saying, you know, Sinner was under too much pressure playing in front of his home crowd. There's always like a kind of post facto.
And I absolutely think that for all I say that I didn't think Dimonor was sufficiently expressive enough, didn't seem enough invested in the game. Like, Sinner was, I thought, remarkably like cool-headed throughout. Like, it was at the end of each set in the next gen finals, they can put on a headset and have some coaching. Sinner had no coaching through that. He just sat there kind of completely like blank. And, you know, at no point did he look, you know, overwhelmed. He never looked too pleased with something that happened, or never got like started playing to the crowd, as I think people might be tempted to, especially when they're 18 years old. So
yeah, he had a couple of like fist pumps when he won important points, but even when he like saved break points with like big serves, he just kind of, you know, picked himself up and served another, which, yeah, good to see. I think he's probably going to go on to do great things.
Yeah, so look, at the end of this whole tournament, let's evaluate the eight players who kind of came here to Milan. You know, this next gen finals thing is a relatively new innovation, but it's already, you know, seen some players graduate to pretty swift success after that. You think these two are going to be having big 2020s?
Well, Dimonor already made the final last year, and he's won three tournaments this year, as I said. I mean, they're all 250s, but that's still a very good haul for a teenager. I think that's more than all the other teenagers on tour combined, all the other players that played in this tournament combined. So clearly he's already top 20, and we wouldn't be surprised if he kind of continues to improve. But I don't think he's like a slam dunk for a top 10, but I think he's going to stay where he is.
And you know the people who are a little bit underwhelming. You know, Tiafoe, does he like, is he a serious contender? I mean, I think it's a bit disappointing as a week for him.
Well, Tiafoe was also disappointing last year. I think he kind of blows hot and cold. I think Tiafoe maybe does have the problem that he needs to like get himself really psyched to like get into a match, and maybe that just didn't happen from this week. I didn't really see him play very much. I think Tiafoe can have a very good 2020, though, because I still think that he has a lot of variety in his game, a lot of power, a lot of athleticism, and we've seen him play really well at the Australian Open this year and at Delray Beach last year. So I think he just needs to kind of find a bit of consistency. And then the other players, like Ruud.
You were a little bit impressed with Davidovich Fokina.
Yeah, Davidovich Fokina hits the ball so hard from both wings. Like, he's like an Andrei Rublev or Nicolas Basilashvili type. If that's, you know, if you're fans of them, I think you'll enjoy his game. But I don't know, I haven't really seen him play much before this tournament. But yeah, he's young. I think he'll probably become a top 100 mainstay, maybe top 50 if he. Yeah.
And I guess, you know, Sinner is going to be the story out of this. He's 18 years old. You know, he's ranked in 90 something than had the Italian wildcard, although you were saying that you think he would have qualified in eighth if there were no wildcard.
I think he was around, I'm not sure if he was eighth or ninth in the race.
Right.
Yeah,
in
the end, his Antwerp result kind of dragged him up to the level of the other players.
You know, I think Sinner, like, in a way, his ranking is a relatively moot point because he's so young and because he's had a, you know, relatively new to the tour. And certainly, like, the way he's played over the last couple of months made me instinctively think he's a more exciting player than, like, Ymer or, you know, Kecmanovic or Ruud. So, you know, I think he's 18 years old. He can have probably another three next gens if he so desires.
Yeah.
You know, but he'll go, presumably he'll now go to Australia and be expected to, you know, put on a bit of a performance.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully there's not too much pressure on his shoulders. The last two next gen winners ended up being semi-finalists in Melbourne. So, you know, he has a lot to live up to, but, you know, at this stage, he's really, every single kind of tour win is still a bit of a novelty for him. I don't know how many he has. He must be like five or something. But clearly he has all the weapons that he needs. He's a good server, good returner, good forehand, good backhand. There's nothing really about his game that's really stood out for me today. except for his cool-headedness, which an 18-year-old is really impressive.
He's 18, but he's like physically like he's you know big and strong. He's not underdeveloped. Dimonor is someone who still, you know, could do with some filling out. I think he looks, you know, he's a bit slight.
Yeah, I think Dimonor could be a bit more powerful. He's extremely quick, and he didn't really get. Well, no, there were a few points where he really showed that today, but that really didn't allow him to dictate the pace of the game as much as I expected him to. Yeah. So I just kind of hit through him.
And I have to say that, like, you know, hitting regular winners against Dimonor is a feat in itself, and so we shouldn't take it for granted. At times, I did watch him being like, is this a little bit like, and you know, have all dreads of the words, but Kyle, a bit like watching Kyle Edmund. Because, you know, not a player you're like looking at being like super mobile, but someone who can, you know, on his day hit a lot of winners, you know. And I hope I hope Sinner kicks on in a way that Kyle Edmund hasn't. But you know, there was, that's the kind of, I think the worst case scenario is that Sinner ends up playing like that. And then, but you know, he's 18 years old, yeah. Could go anywhere. Final thought, Pavel.
He also has a much better backhand than Kyle Edmund, I would say.
Yeah, his backhand I thought was excellent throughout. I just thought he hit beautifully all day.
Yeah, fair play.
Final thoughts on the tournament itself, the kind of like, you know, what it is, the format, everything. What were your kind of main takeaways from, you know, lots of new rules there? Kind of a weird. It's slightly a weird thing. It's a kind of weird thing to come all the way to Milan to watch. Do you have any regrets?
I don't have regrets. We had a nice time. I do think that the format is a bit crap. And also, obviously, it was especially crap for us because it meant that we got very little tennis for.
Yeah, we got 1 hour and 4 minutes or something.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't like the no-ad scoring. I think there's a nice. Well, I already expressed that point. And then first to four, also, I don't see any advantages of a first to six. I think traditional sets are fine, leave them alone.
Do you think there needs to be a sort of next-gen tournament, or do you think it's a bit like, you know, I always find the sub, the whatever it's called, the WTA Elite Trophy, or whatever's not the tour finals,
I
find that a bit weird and like a bit patronizing to those players. I don't really understand why the players, I mean, obviously there's a pot of money and points involved with it, but I don't really know how they get psyched up for it. And do you think, in a way, I think the next gen makes more sense than that. But do you think it's like something, you know, clearly the three best players, well, no, maybe not the three best players, but three of the four best players opted not to play this.
Well, Jirassim was injured, so I think he would have played. But okay. Yeah, Shapovalov reached the final in Paris last week, obviously decided that this was, you know, a bit beneath him. Tsitsipas playing in London next week might, you know, do well there.
He could have warmed up here.
Yeah, maybe. But, you know, he decided not to, and he already won it last year, so there's no way he could have improved on that. I think it's a fun little tournament for showcasing future talent. I mean, Sinner, you know, you caught a bit of him in Antwerp, but this is obviously going to put him on the map in a bigger way, and I wouldn't have seen David Ojvakina play if it weren't for this tournament. So, you know, I think it has a place in the tennis calendar. There's nothing in between Paris and London. So I don't think anyone really begrudges it. It's not taking, unlike the like Davis Cup change, it's not really taking away anything from anyone. Mm. So I think that's fine, as long as these rule changes don't creep too much into the tour itself.
Will you be coming back next year?
No.
See you next, perhaps next week when we're coming from the actual tour finals.